Hey everyone, this is Jeff.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. It's going to be the Pokemon Show, sort of. Kind of another hybrid show. Things always go wacky when a new Pokemon game comes out. Because we do a Pokemon Show, we do a show where we talk about new releases. This is both. So, because it's also the last show we're going to do for the month of November, I'm going to blow through a couple of news stories real quick before we get to the main event, which is, of course, Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet, which came out, what, about 10 days ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. And we're all, like, a good ways into the game at this point. Ryan actually just rolled credits a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, a buddy of mine rolled credits 3 days.
But he's not on this podcast.
No, he's not.
And that's also weirdly obsessive.
I'm just, yeah.
But before we get to Pokemon, just a couple of news stories to get through, and a small game, a little bit of a game.
We have a game?
Small game to discuss. Okay.
Just like some news and some games that are coming soon in the month of December, as well as one or two coming out at the end of this month. We did get a release date for the next Switch Sports update. If you guys remember, they brought a version of Wii Sports over to Switch, called it Switch Sports. That was back in April. They're adding golf tomorrow.
Fellas. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and golf. I really like the Wii Sports golf, so I'm looking forward to this one. It is 21 holes throughout different courses throughout Wii Sports as well as Wii Sports Resort. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there's also a online survival golf mode where you just play with 8 players and you just play through 9 holes. But at the end of every hole, the player with the most strokes gets eliminated.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, they just got a really cool mode. Let's see. We also got a release date for the next wave of Mario Kart 8 courses. That is out December 7th. It's 2 new cups. Some of the courses, Maple Highway, the Rainbow Road from the 3DS version, Boo Lake, London Loop, Rock Road Mountain, Peach Gardens. So yeah, continuing to churn content out for this game that is very nearly 10 years old. I think it'll be 9 years old next May or something. But yeah, Mario Kart 8 keeps the content coming. It continues to be the best-selling game on Switch. Almost 50 million copies sold. So
yeah, that's unreal.
Here comes more. There are some other games coming out in December. I sent you guys the playlist, but I sent it, like, really late. So I don't blame you if you haven't a chance to look at it. But like I mentioned, Switch Sports Story is coming out at some point in December. We don't have a solid release date for that one yet. I already mentioned the Mario Kart 8 expansion as well.
I feel
as
like it was
sports,
like the Nintendo Sports franchise was like, hey, Golf Story, we're taking golf and there's nothing you can do about it. And they're like, oh yeah? Well, we're taking sports.
We're just taking all of the sports.
We got all of them here too.
You better not have a lacrosse version coming.
Oh, that would be intense.
Let's see. Front Mission First is a remake of the Front Mission Tactics game for the Super Nintendo. That one's actually out November 30th, so just in a couple of days here. We got a remake of Romancing Saga, which is a Square Enix RPG. I think it was a PS1 RPG in the Saga series, like these really like crunchy, hardcore RPGs. A bunch of RPGs, actually. Chained Echoes is a really nice-looking pixel art RPG that's coming out on the 8th. That one I'm definitely sticking on a wish list because I'd like to get to that at some point. Dragon Quest Treasures, not really an RPG, but, you know, a game within an RPG franchise. It's more of an adventure game. I guess it does have, like, some RPG things to it. I'm not exactly sure how the battle works.
But I can't imagine they would call a game Dragon Quest and not have it be, in some capacity, an RPG.
Mm. Well, there have been some. Like, there was a tank battling game. It was a really good one. It's Dragon Quest Heroes : Rocket Slime, where you played as a slime. Like, kind of play through like these puzzle adventure, like top-down stages, but then at the end of every one was a boss fight where you're like in two gigantic opposing tanks and the objective was just load as much shit into your cannons and then auto-fires over to the other tank. It was really fun. It was a really cool game.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Treasures is more about like exploring and finding treasure. And Crisis Core is out on the 13th. Wes, did you ever play Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII? I think it was a PSP game originally.
No, I was originally going to, but I haven't. Yeah, I just never did.
It's getting a remake / remaster across all platforms, and that one is coming out next month. I'm really looking forward to that one as well. So, real quick, before we get to Pokemon, fellas, real quick game. It's just a fill-in-the-blank. I'm going to give you a new story. You fill in the blanks, and we're just going to go, it's just two rounds,
okay.
And we're going to go round by round. So, Yuji Naka, noted figure within video games, is famous for creating the character of blank. Yuji Naka, credited with creating... Which video game character? It's not really important. It just makes the next part funnier and weirder.
I can't even guess.
Ziplash?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, Sonic.
Yuji Naka, largely created as, or credited as creating Sonic the Hedgehog, which is kind of like a weird misnomer, because Sonic the Hedgehog was created by committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's such like a vacant, worthless, like, meant to please the prepubescent boys. There's no way like one person is totally responsible for it.
And even he takes no pride.
Right.
Being credited as the creator.
Nor should he. He actually left Sega some time ago. I think it was after Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast. He left Sega. His most recent game, here we go, I'm going to do an improvised round here. His most recent game, he worked with Square Enix to make, any guesses?
Sonic Frontiers?
Nope. He was a Square Enix publisher.
What's that new Triangle one?
No, it wasn't Triangle Strategy.
Oh.
It was Balan Wonderworld.
Oh, God. All right.
That is his most recent game, where he worked with Square Enix for quite some time, and he is currently involved. He actually parted ways with Square Enix as the director of that game before the game came out. And he got kind of like replaced at the 11th hour, and someone else finished up the game. And he is currently in litigation or suing Square Enix over some things that happened around the creation and release of that game. Yuji Naka, noted creator of Sonic, whose most recent game was Balan Wonderworld, has been arrested.
Oh God!
In Japan, for fellas, fill in the blank.
I will say sexual misconduct.
Nope.
Illegal bets.
He was.
Trafficking?
It wasn't drug trafficking. Like.
Did he pull... What,
exotic animal smuggling?
What was the gun trunk guy?
John Popper.
Did he pull... Did him and Jim
Popper coordinating a conspiracy with John Popper to assassinate...
He was on the January 6th
rally. Successfully assassinate the Prime Minister of Japan.
weirdly enough, like, Wes has been the closest so far with, like, illegal bets. Insider trading.
Okay.
He was arrested.
Oh, that's not that. Come on.
Arrested for insider trading for some information that he got while at Square Enix, and moving some Square Enix stock around.
He's like, oh, I'm releasing a game, and I think the stock price is going to go down.
That's brutal, Ryan.
I don't know how serious a charge that is in Japan, but, you know, it's definitely not cool to just kind of manipulate things based on foreknowledge that you have. Apparently also illegal in Japan, as it is here.
Is it, though? Check out what Elon Musk is getting away with.
Right? I guess like depends like how rich you have. Like at a certain point, you have so much money that they just can't take it from you anymore. You become above the law.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's the news segment, fellas. Mm-hmm. That's all we got. But you guys are playing Pokemon.
That's fun.
You're playing Pokemon right now. We're all playing Pokemon.
I'm currently trying to get to this stupid Gimmighoul at the top of a mountain.
I did a... 7 raids today in Pokemon Go.
Oh, Pokemon Go. How's that going? How's Pokemon Go?
Yeah, so before we even get to it, Pokemon Go.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we always talk about Pokemon Go at the top. But yeah, there was actually a big event literally today where they gave you 5 free raid passes with the idea that you would do 7 Ultra Beast raids, and then at the end of it you would get, is it Celestia or something like that? You know, the one that's like the big orb-looking thing with the 2 metal arms.
Okay.
It's like a flying steel type. But they haven't unveiled that one until just now. So that one's out and about. Yeah, you guys missed the friggin' Dratini, Shiny Dratini Day. That was a throwback that they did.
Oh, no. Very cool.
Yeah. So I've got plenty of those bad boys.
Wes, you know what color Shiny Dratini is?
I don't know, puke green?
Neither do I. Let's guess. Are you going to go with green?
I'm going to go with puke green.
I'm not going to go with green because I think Dragonite is green. So I'm going to go with pink. Nope. Never mind. I'm locked in. Pink.
Yeah. It is a pink. And you are right. The green color is the Dragonite when it's fully evolved. By the way, a lot of the first and second gen, since they introduced shinies in the second gen, you'll find that it's very common for first and second gen Pokemon, their shiny form, to literally just be some shade of green. It seems like green was the most contrasting color available, based on how the sprites looked back in the day, I guess. So they, so many of them are green. But yeah, they also had the shiny Ursaluna, or Teddy Ursa event, which they also unlocked Ursaluna. So you could fully evolve those. And again, send them into the games and send them back and forth. Well, not back and forth, really, but into home and then into Arceus, all you want. So if you weren't having luck finding shinies there, I mean, good for you. They switched up the Giovanni fights. So Giovanni no longer has his Shadow Lugia. Now it is Mewtwo. Everyone fucking loves these Shadow Mewtwos. So I stockpiled a couple extra Giovanni raid passes from the, over the course of the year. Because basically there's a little trick you can do where you don't necessarily have to do the Giovanni fight. Every quarter they have like a big Team Rocket event, and the end result is that you do a Giovanni fight. And since they basically just kept it as Lugia, or sorry, not Lugia, Latios. It was Latios and Latias. I didn't really care about getting more shadow forms of those, so I stockpiled my extra radars, so I got a couple extra shadow Mewtwos. Long story short, really good decision. I'm glad I did that because they're fucking sick. I've caught like 12 Guzzlords just because they're going around. Nihilego is the other Ultra Beast. Gosh, what else is there? There's been so many fucking things are going on right now. I love the dual... every day now you get two... It's not going to last for, I think, maybe about another month, but you get dual raid passes. So normally you get your one free raid pass a day. The past, like, 90 days, they've had it to where you can get two raid passes a day. And raiding is, of course, like, the big thing to do in the game. So very, very fun. People should play Pokemon Go. It's great.
Cool. So Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are out, guys.
Turns out they're making those games still, huh?
It has quite been a calendar year since we got a Pokemon game, but here comes another one.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you guys. Should this game have come out when it did?
How do you mean?
I think it's fine that it came out when it did.
Yeah? You mean, think it could have used a little bit more time in the oven? Maybe,
I think that the anime series that they make and the cards that they press and the merchandise that they produce would probably tell you don't wait. That there is a machine with many moving parts, and just because one is perceived by critics and a very loud and vocal minority that they are not up to snuff for their perspective, that it shouldn't stop the entire process from happening.
Well, I mean, there are objective things that aren't functioning well within the game. Not just a matter of perspective. Like, there are, like, objective technical things. Like, the frame rate is terrible at times.
Yeah.
There are glitches that, like,
crashed twice.
If a film came out and, like, the reel, like, the film wasn't lined up exactly with the reel, so it was, like, creating, like, a double image, or if, like, shots were just playing out of focus that weren't supposed to be out of focus. If a book came out with spelling errors, you're like, what's going on here? That's objectively not good.
Right.
So, like, but to your point, I don't disagree with you that there is like a sort of like overarching like capitalist like machine that is at work here where they need to release this thing because it's coinciding with so many other things that they're trying to pump out.
Yeah, I think that that's how this whole thing works, is that they have to hit their beats. Mm. They have to make a game a year. And they're going to start producing the next game thereafter. You know, it's just how this franchise operates. And they can't run this thing like your beloved, technically perfect franchise that you have in mind and think that this should operate. They don't do that because this isn't that company.
Let's also be clear. There aren't many of those companies, like your big AAA experiences that come out, anything that Bethesda puts out, fucking Cyberpunk 2077, like your big AAA, like high tech spec games don't function perfectly, sometimes even particularly well.
Now let's take a look at the other end of the spectrum and see if this is what we want. Do we want The Last of Us? Do we want a game where they've made two games over the course of 11 years and they've re-released it four times? Do we want to be playing the fourth iteration of the Hoenn region right now? Like, is that... Because that's the other end. If people get what they think they want... Again, this is the monkey paw curls its finger, right? They release a game once every 5 years, this franchise doesn't exist. I mean, it exists, but it's like... it's not the media empire that it is.
I don't think that the things like to your point. I don't think that like if this Pokemon game, if Pokemon Scarlet and Violet looked exactly the way it does, but just ran well, it's definitely not like as technically demanding as a game like The Last of Us. So I don't think that the two things have to be mutually exclusive. I think that you can get a game, Scarlet and Violet, and churn them out with some expediency. I don't think you'd be waiting 5 years between installments if this game was running up to snuff. And we are talking about, when we're talking about Pokemon, the biggest video game franchise in the world.
The biggest multimedia franchise in the world.
Okay.
I mean, I think, I don't know what percentage they're... Gaming makes up of all of the stuff that they do. I would guess their card business is bigger than their video game business right now.
I would say no.
I would say it slowed down.
Yeah.
Maybe not right now, but as it was relatively recently.
Yeah, I think that they make money in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And granted, like, this game is selling like gangbusters.
Right, then that's the thing. So let's just rewind the clock about 16 years to the Nintendo Wii. Nintendo Play.
We're doing this thing where we're not even talking about the fucking game. We're having this meta discussion.
Oh, we're going to get there. And like
you wake me when we're there.
Listen to your Xenoblade podcast, and you're like, they give me these fucking coins, and what am I doing with these coins now?
No,
what is Pokemon even?
We can get into the crunchy mechanics of Xenoblade anytime you want. I'm totally down for that. So Nintendo placed this bet on with the Nintendo Wii that technology was not the most important thing when making a video game. And a lot of times it paid off really well for them, like the Wii, like the DS, where creating like fun interactive experiences was the primary draw. I think that's kind of morphed into this sort of mantra where graphics don't matter, where the tech doesn't matter, which I don't think was ever what Nintendo was positing. It just means that I think they were just saying like the tech doesn't have to move as fast as it is moving. And here we are like 16 years later, still kind of dealing with the issue, like is the tech stuff, is like the visual fidelity, is the frame rate an important part of it? I think it is an important part of it, but 10 million people who bought this game within 3 days, didn't seem to matter all that much.
And also, I mean, they did just release Arceus, and it wasn't the same studio that produced Arceus. But Arceus, by comparison, looks a little closer to, I think, what fans think they want. Where it seems to... It had its jank, admittedly.
It did?
It had a little bit of the jank. But for the most part, it looked pretty good. It ran well enough. It was fine for what it is, and it seems like most people really... And even then, of course, at the time, there was so much hand-wringing and pearl-clutching about it being, like, a poorly made game.
And, you know, I think...
But now this one's, like, because it is, like you're saying, you are correct in saying that this one technically is not performing up to snuff. But that's... Frankly, that's the new model of AAA games. You get it out there, and then you patch it later. How many games really come out nowadays that are like smooth, ready to go, right out of the box experiences? It seems like so many of these
of the Wild.
Big franchises fall flat on their face.
Mario Odyssey.
In terms of technically, well, again,
Luigi's Mansion. I'm listing Nintendo franchises.
Yeah, and you're
strangely kind of, enough,
you're focusing on like first party Nintendo.
Right, and see, that's the thing. I think that there is.
Nintendo has that rule where we don't release jank.
I mean, Pokemon's not a first party Nintendo, but it might as well be a first party Nintendo.
In public perception, sure, but and there are, and the general conversation around this game doesn't always directly blame Nintendo, but sometimes the blame does get thrown on Nintendo because Nintendo does publish the game. It does do a lot of the marketing for the game in conjunction with the Pokemon Company, which is this sort of weird tendril of both Game Freak, Creatures Inc. and Nintendo. Japanese corporate culture is very foreign to the way that we think of corporate culture in the U.S. But that's neither here nor there, because the way that we would expect a Nintendo game to release, because that these are the sorts of games Nintendo releases, is not the way that Game Freak has been making games. And I think that they can, I think they can afford to get some help. I think they can afford, they're moving 10 million copies of the game in 3 days. I think, you know, maybe.
Extended maybe, the production maybe cycle a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I don't know what six extra months would do to dramatically change the product,
though. I don't know either.
I think if anything, and we'll talk, we'll start talking about the actual fucking game, but, you know, I think that there is just so much stuff in the game. And I think that if we were to answer that thing that people think they want, then it would require a major stripping down. You would need to have a much more narrow, focused vision of a game. One that maybe only has 150 Pokemon.
Well, then,
total.
And so we've already kind of seen like a sort of dividing up of who is making these Pokemon games, because they outsourced that remake of Diamond Pearl to someone else. I think it was Ilka was the name of the studio. But
it is kind of wild that literally in the course of, it's been 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've given us freaking three games.
12 months.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
nuts.
I mean, I can totally understand that when you look at just the sheer volume of titles that they've put out. Mm. And they've combined, probably going to have like 60 million sales.
Mm.
Like, that's, again, that's great, but it's hard to tell them to stop when there's this fervor for the content they're creating.
So I just think it was important to address the tech issues right up front, because now we're actually going to talk about the game. We're aware that there are tech issues. If they don't come up again, we've already spoken about it.
Well, it's like in Cult of the Lamb. I talked about that probably on three different podcasts we've done, and every time I brought up what a fucking mess that game was. Cult of the Lamb runs far worse than Pokemon does.
Hmm.
Right? That game was barely functioning.
It ran fine for me.
I doubt that. You didn't have constant crashes and bad assets loading and shit like that all the time.
Game Freak's not a little indie studio.
Yeah.
They make the biggest video game franchise in the world. Anyway, so to your point about just the sheer scope of the game, with something like Legends Arceus, you had, well, like five zones, and you would warp in and out of those zones. There was definitely smaller than what they're doing in Scarlet Violet, which is just one persistent geography, one persistent zone.
Yeah.
You do have different sections of the zone, but it's not like you go into a load screen and load in a new area. It's just when you fast travel around, because your fast travel points, it moves pretty quickly. It's able to get you in and out of where you need to go pretty smoothly.
Actually, that is one thing that you can comment on Pokemon. The fast travel in Pokemon is very, very quick.
Mm.
It takes just a few seconds to load a new environment. It would take probably 10 times longer in Breath of the Wild if you just decided you sort of wanted to start fast traveling places. It took a long time to load. I don't know if you guys remember it that well. Load screens took quite a bit of time.
Took a decent amount of time to load.
This one, load times are a couple of seconds, maybe 5-10 seconds.
Oh, if that. It's
lightning
really,
quick. Really quick. Yeah.
So, where do you guys want to start? You want to, like, go through it like the game breaks down? You want to talk about, like, the different,
so this is
the different
game,
modes?
This is a game in which you're a young trainer, and you go around and you collect monsters.
You want to be the very best.
And you have them. We don't have to do the 30,000 foot view.
Well,
what do you want to talk about?
There's, like, the gym fights, the Star Road, or the Starfall battle things, and then the Titans. Any of those that you guys particularly feel like starting with?
Just talk about that as to how they introduce you to that stuff. Like, I think this is really refreshing that you just sort of get it all at once. They do maybe 20 minutes of tutorialing.
Oh, yeah, it's they just
like, they just get it all out. Like in other games where it was sort of like, okay, you do a gym, and then okay, now Rocket's going to show up, and then you're doing this, and it's like, okay, you get fed another little piece about, you know, the legendary questing you have to do. This game's just like, get past this tutorial part of the beginning. Here it all is. What do you want to do first? Go ahead. You can do anything right now.
And it's really great how quickly that they actually get you into playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if you just compare that to something like Sun Moon, where it just takes forever, where they just finally let you go and let you go do your thing.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, it gets you to the hub. You're through there, like you said, 15 or 20 minutes. And then you're like, okay, well, you can go to the east. You can go to the west. You could go back down south where you came from if you felt like it. But here's your two major directions, and either way, you're going to just go start finding stuff to do.
I mean, even before that, and I don't even remember what the total count was, but even before you go to the school to really initiate all of that content, there's, I think, like 40 to 50 different species of Pokemon you can catch on the way.
Oh, yeah.
On the way. There's just so much shit you can do right then and there to just... You could fill two boxes of stuff before you even get to the school to understand what you're supposed to be doing.
And did they do, like, even a Pokemon catching tutorial? I can't even remember at the beginning of this game.
Yes, there was, but you were the one that actually was catching it.
Hmm.
Opposed to, like, watching somebody, you're like, oh, my God. Like, it was just kind of like, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah, so I think they handled the opening of this game.
Like, the only thing was just not having enough money because I wanted to constantly catch things in Premier Balls. Hmm. So I'm doing everything I can to buy multiples of 10 regular Pokeballs and then... selling them right back.
Like, where they, yeah, that's where the raid dens would come in handy because, like, okay, I'm going to go do a raid den and hopefully they give me pearls as a gift in this one because I want to sell all those pearls so I can buy some more Pokeballs. Because I don't know how you guys are approaching playing this game, but I'm going through and I'm trying to build my living decks.
Yeah.
I was fantasizing that in the beginning. I was going around, I was catching a lot of things, and I was like, I don't want to do this. I just...
God, it's so much fun.
So I just stopped.
They give you a big checklist right at the beginning as you get to go through and check them all off.
This is actually probably a very easy generation of a game to do that with, too. I mean, it feels like it's all pretty well out in the open. Making eggs is easier than it's ever been and faster than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah, I got 3 Quaxly eggs for you.
Oh, hello.
Nice. Making eggs, like the picnic thing... serves multiple functions, which I think is really great. It's sort of akin to the camping that they did in Sword Shield, except, like, instead of, like, in addition to restoring your Pokemon, like, you got a mobile Pokemon center, you can also do things like breeding there, so you don't have to go to, like, a daycare center.
Yeah.
And you can get multiple eggs in a round, as opposed to having to, like, ride around and hatch things on on your bike and have to like hatch eggs one at a time. Like as you're riding around hatching an egg, another egg will appear. So you got to get that one and continue like churning through in a process. As opposed to like in this, you're at a picnic, you just get all these eggs at once, mm-hmm. and then you're probably done unless you're like really searching for specific IVs.
Yeah, and even then, it's a total waste of time. You can buy a bottle cap straight up for in-game currency.
Nice.
In the end game. So, like, it's not... The whole using egg hatching as a way of finding the Pokemon you want, the only way that even has any merit right now is, I guess, for shiny hunting. And even then, it's probably not going to help you unless it's a starter that you want.
That's really nice that they allow you just to buy it for in-game money as opposed to having to, like, create things of that Cram-O-Matic in Sword Shield and having to, like, to churn the correct items in order to turn those into bottle caps later. That's really cool. And they also allow you to buy things like mints to change your nature. And of course, you can always buy things
they're
like
just
vitamins.
Like 20 grand mm-hmm. straight up. Of like, and early on, there's a crunch for money, but towards the end of the game, you're going to have lots and lots of cash.
Yeah.
You're going to be pretty cash rich. So, it's very, very cool. They're not trying to make it any of that stuff about min maxing Pokemon hidden. It's all out in the open. They want you to be able to find the Pokemon you want and don't feel like you have to have an hour long process to find one that's suitable for this, you know, where you can just sort of grab anyone that you find in the wild, as long as it's the species of Pokemon you want. From there, you can have it with max IVs, max EVs, whatever nature you'd like, hidden ability, all that stuff.
You can
like,
change its moves at any time.
Change all, yeah.
Yeah, so. They've gotten, like, with every generation since probably, like, Sun Moon, they've just gotten a little bit better at making all that stuff just instantly accessible and making it easier to get like your exact perfect one that you would want to use in like a competitive battle. And this is just like the next step where it'll be interesting to see how they improve on further, because every time they make little improvements, like, okay, this is the best it's ever been. I don't know how they can make this better. And they always find a way just to make things just a little bit easier to get a grasp on.
Yeah. But again, what we talk about this being a good thing, there are of course complainers about every positive. Yeah. Yeah. There's tons of people complaining that they don't like this and that it takes away the fun of building a Pokemon and that it doesn't require any effort anymore to do anything. It's
I think we have different definitions of fun.
Yeah, literally find anything. Like, there is just so much, like, just toxicity out there right now towards Pokemon.
This is what happened with Sword and Shield release. They're like, how come they not have every single Pokemon in the game? And everybody lost their friggin' mind.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... It's like Star Wars fans. They're gonna find something to bitch about.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I also think that one of the nice things about the picnic compared to camping, and I would say the same thing about the raids that they have in this, the raid dens that they're doing, which is also a mechanic of Sword and Shield, mm-hmm. is that they're also much faster.
Oh, yeah.
They're
oh,
going
yeah.
way, way faster. They want to get you in and out of the experiences that you have in this game. And it seems like, you know, for the maybe the lack of the attention to detail on, you know, some of the performance issues, it's the actual in-game gameplay is incredibly refined.
Yeah, yeah. I think that very much to the game's credit, they do such a good job of just moving you in and out of things quickly. Like, you get into those the fights really quickly, capturing things moves very quickly, with the exception of, like, if you're in the water and the frame rate slows to a crawl, things can slow down quite a bit. Have you guys found a way to turn off battle animations? I can't find it.
It's a feature that's been taken out of the game. Because I remember that. I looked it up, too, and they said that there's no way to turn off battle animations, which, another thing that they did speed up. There are a lot of the long-winded battle animations are gone. Everything at least happens pretty quick. And there's virtually no clicking needed on your part. It kind of naturally just rolls through the steps it has to take. And yeah, you know, if it's a scenario where you're confused and then you got to take poison damage and all this shit, turns can really take a long time.
I had a shell bell on one of my Pokemon, and I eventually just took it off. I was like, okay, I need to move through these things a little bit quicker. But, like, to what you were saying about, like, having to click through fewer things, when you decline to learn a move, I feel like there's, like, one or two steps that they've removed. And I think they have the license to do that, because you can relearn moves so easily. But, like, if this Pokemon is learning a move, do you want to learn it? You just click no, and it won't ask you, are you sure you don't want to learn this? Or, like, skip
learning. Yeah, it just does it, moving on.
It's like, okay, never mind. You can go find it later if you want.
Well, I realized I had actually turned it off from the options menu. You can straight up turn off being even notified that a new move can be learned.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I was, like, I had, you know, one of the starters, and I realized, like, this thing's first two moves are still Yawn and Leer. What am I doing with this thing? Why has it not picked up any other moves? And I was like, oh, and then I did the remember move thing, and it's like, oh my god, it's been able to learn all of these moves this whole time. I just never bothered to use any. I had turned that thing, and I still haven't turned it back on, because, like, I picked the Pokemon and then I know the moves I want on it, so it's like, it's fine. Saves me the clicks of seeing that it's going to learn Tackle and Leer and Tail Whip or whatever the fuck.
It's also super helpful. Like, right now I'm at the point of the game where I'm rolling with just, like, a Pokemon in a specific zone in the game. And I just have, like, things from the bench. So I just want to level up to evolve to fill out the Pokedex in there. And I'm not having them learn any moves. If I really want to use, like, a fucking Silicobra at some point, I'll just go and have it relearn moves later. It doesn't matter. So turning that prompt off would make just smoother. Like, okay, let's just go fight as many things as I can, get them leveled up, put them back in the box. Yeah. I don't need to bother. But yeah, I do also like how they have it, like, divided up. You got, like, of course, your gym battles, and you got your like Titan fights against giant Pokemon, and you got your Starfall Street, whatever, what do they call it?
Team Star.
I think Starfall,
like,
Street
Star
was in, like, Black
2. Oh, yeah. Operation Starfall.
But each one of those, like, they find, like, a different battle mechanic to represent each type, which I think is fun, that you get, like, a big fight for every type in the game.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of fun to tackle those in whatever order you want. I mean, obviously, like, I would recommend doing the beast fights early, because they're going to increase your mobility in the game by unlocking different things. Like, it's
and then they
it's not a double jump. It's just a bigger jump, which is good, but it's not perfect. And the double jump is perfect.
It does sort of, like, map you out to where those things are sort of the easiest things to knock out first, which is good, because, like you said, it does give you the extra abilities to jump higher and to climb and to glide if you need to.
Climbing,
to swim.
Climbing especially is great to have, because there is far, like, I feel like in Breath of the Wild, for example, their open world, it's very hilly. It's very flowing.
Yeah.
This game is, like, super jagged. You will just be faced with rock walls constantly, and you're like, wait a minute, I just need to get to the thing that's on this other side of this fucking 150-foot wall, and I have no way of getting around it, so there's, like, a specific path I gotta find. But the pathing isn't great on the map. You just kind of gotta go with what the map has.
Yeah, sometimes, like, if you're following a road, like, the road looks like on the map will dead end, but that's because it goes into a cave. Yeah. I think...
And even your glide drops off really, really fast. You can only get so far with the glide. It's not like the glide from Arceus.
Right.
Where you can just get, like, fucking tons of distance as long as you're at a high point. And they give you all those watchtowers, too. So it's almost like they kind of want you to do that, but then you realize that you can only get so far with them. But I digress.
And I think, like, my general experience of the map has been overall positive. I think generally it gives you an okay idea of where you need to go. And it gives you, like, all of, like, your fast travel points and all your points of interest right off the bat. And it gives you, like, all the information. Like, here's all your mass outbreaks. Here's your raid dens. Your terror raid battles all over the place. If there's a special one, it'll sparkle for you, which is really nice.
The maps are just kind of what they are, too. It's not like another game where you would need, like, 20 different icons to mm-hmm. indicate where things are, what things are. It's like the game lays the information out for you. So, yeah, aside from, like, having a destination marker to indicate on a map where you want to go, it's kind of about the only thing you really need.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but
very good.
But back to what you were saying, like, the game is it's just so snappy with mm-hmm. and constantly giving you, like, a new interesting thing to go look at, or a new goal that's very close by that you can get to really easily. It makes it super easy just to pour, like, 3 or 4 hours into the game without even noticing. So, like,
oh, yeah.
You're just, like, running through a field, like, oh my god, like, there's, like, these Pokemon that I can go catch to fill up my Pokedex. And, like, here's ones that I haven't seen yet, and now I'm near a den, and now I'm near a town, and there's a gym in this town, and there's a Star Street right over there.
It's like that slot machine where it's just like, just one more pull.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're constantly feeling that, I don't think I caught that one yet. And you, like, go over there and catch that one. It's like, oh, well, there's an item over there. I probably should go get the item. And then you walk over there and it's like, oh, look.
Yeah, like, well, and now
there's a raid down on the map. Let's go look at that.
Now it's nighttime. I wonder what else is going to come out here at night.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, this game is very easy to lose track of time with.
Mm-hmm. Wes is doing it right now.
Yep. I'm hatching Ryan's Quaxly eggs.
Nice.
Whoop.
So I got two hatched. One more egg.
I want some Quaxlys.
I can give you a quack.
Nice.
And I got your Foy Coco and Sprigatito if you need one as well. Oh. Do you want to talk about that? Want to talk about the starters?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went with Sprigatito as my starter. Fucking love it. It's really, really good. Continuing the streak of really good grass starters.
Bulbasaur, the original OG.
Yeah, it evolves into
everybody's favorite bay leaf.
Yeah, I mean, again, the early generations, there are some rough ones in there, but yeah, like, especially like Decidueye. I love mm-hmm. Decidueye.
Yep. That was Decidueye, so
absolutely
good.
Badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at any rate, it becomes a grass dark, so I guess it's the equivalent of, like, Greninja, but just for the grass types. It has this...
Or a Nuzleaf?
Yeah.
Shiftry?
It's got this wild... Or Cacturne. It's got this wild-ass move. I'm going to bring it up real quick because it's so great. Flower Trick? Flower Trick is just a ridiculously powerful move.
So it seems like all three of them get some kind of move that hits pretty good and then buffs some kind of stat.
Yeah, well, this one's not really a buff. It's 70 damage, it never misses, and it's guaranteed to crit. So it might
oh
as well...
Oh my god, alright.
Yeah, it might as well be 105.
Now, is it like a never miss, like, bypasses accuracy checks, or just like 100% accurate?
Yeah, it bypasses accuracy. It says this never misses and always lands a critical.
Right, yeah, because...
Accuracy is zero.
Because fuck that guy.
Because a crit move just doesn't miss.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
So very, very good. And yeah, it's more of a physical attacker, and it's super speedy, like really, really fast.
Hmm.
So also running a thing like U-turn on this gives you a lot of coverage and gets you in and out of fights really quick. So you can just fucking lay the wood on people, just crush them. And then when you need
I mean,
I do have, like, several members of my team that have moves that will... flip
lay
out
the
like,
wood on them.
Volt switch. There's the water type one that the dolphin uses. The Palafin. I forget the name of the move.
Yeah, but, like, I think that's new to this one. Right?
That's a new move. U turn. Just all these moves that will just keep on, like, the battle moving over. It makes me wish that the trainer fights in these games had more than just one or two Pokemon. So many of the trainers you run into, it's just like, okay, I have my one Pokemon. I'm gonna throw it out there for you to murder.
Yeah, that's true. You rarely see a trainer that's got more than three Pokemon. Mm. And yeah, oftentimes it's just one or two.
Yeah.
It's probably going to see... That Dolphin's probably going to see more... just be seen more in, like, the competitive scene.
Maybe.
Because that's just tons of strategies you can do with that. And that thing is gnarly.
But that's what I had heard. Yeah, it in doubles, it's not that big of a deal. But in, like, 6v6... the thing is already being banned. It's already in Smogon, like, banned. I don't follow Smogon stuff all that closely, but
yeah. So is that graveyard dog? Yeah. Forget its name.
Greyhound
or something.
Greyhound.
Yeah, something like that. Because it got that move that increases the base power of the move by 50 for every move, for every Pokemon that's fainted during that fight.
Yeah, Houndstone.
Houndstone, yeah, I want to use that guy.
And then that mouse, what's it called?
Tandemouse.
Tandemouse, yeah, it's got that move that can hit like up to 10 times. Mm-hmm. And like you get like some like King's Rock to increase your chance to flinch. You know, you can end up with some pretty broken movesets. Much like you were saying with that grass starter.
Yeah. So yeah, I really, really like it a lot. Very, very good. I also, because somebody was did trade me one on a link trade, I got the fire starter as well. Becomes Skeledirge, becomes a fire ghost. And again, the thing just absolutely crushes. It's more of a special attacker compared to the grass type being more of a physical attacker. I'm running like Earth Power on it, Shadow Ball, and it has a move called Torch Song. And Torch Song is kind of a jacked up move. It has an 80%, or sorry, no, it's 100% accuracy, 80 damage, and it'll boost your special attack. So think of it as like a power-up punch, but a power-up punch that started with 80 damage.
Insane.
Right? It's kind of bonkers that they can do this with this Pokemon. Again, another one, Wes, that knows how to lay the wood.
All right.
Is that a new expression for you guys?
No, I've never heard that one.
It disturbs me.
It's you hear it in football.
I don't understand why it disturbs you. No. What is it? What's the...
You can't...
Imagine that. Envision in your mind that football play where it's like quarterback drops pass and he throws the ball to this guy who's running across the middle of the field and then someone just cuts him in half.
It lays the wood. Yeah.
I just laid the wood on him. That's what they say.
I got a buddy at work and I told him that for while the girls were quite young, I would call milk Moo Moo Juice. That disturbed him too. That made him feel sick, calling it Moo Moo Juice. I do all the time now.
God.
What? I don't know.
I think more beverages should have a lot of fat in them.
I think so too. what else? What else we got? Wes. We haven't heard from you that much.
I started with the dumb duck.
Uh-huh.
Because the original discussion of us was John was going to go Waikoko.
I was, yeah.
And then you were going to go Sprigatito. So I was like, I'll get Quaxly. So we got the coverage here. And God, I hate this fucking duck.
Well, just to clarify, we're going to get back to the duck in a second. I did not go with Waikoko.
You did not go with Waikoko. The second I heard that, I was like, son of a bitch. I'm stuck with this duck for no fucking reason.
Well, here's the thing. If you just do the link, if you read those things, you could go on right now and trade both of them. And in 5 minutes, you would have all starters.
Oh, yeah.
Just go trade them right now. Go on a link trade and fucking get rid of them.
Yeah,
because
it is a really valuable Pokemon.
I think it is worth mentioning. Now we're going to take this tangent off a tangent. That right now there is no home integration and there's no way of like setting up a GTS trade. You can't just like drop something into a trade box and say, this is what I have to trade. This is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You either trade with someone you know, you can do a surprise trade, or you can do this workaround.
Link trades exist.
This was a cool idea when you told me the formula for that.
And it wasn't my idea or anything.
I know,
but
I wasn't giving you credit. I was just saying.
No. But so like you get an 8-digit code that you could just agree with somebody on the other side of the world and say like, okay, let's trade this way, and you don't have to like trade friend IDs or anything like that. There's no mess to it. You just go in and do it. So what people realize is basically just like it's 4 digits and 4 digits. So the Pokemon you're looking for, just use the dex number for it. So again, if it's a Sprigatito, that's 0001. And then if you say you want a Fuecoco, that's 4, so 0004. So like, you know, there's another example of one that would trade like one for one is that Charcadet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and each version has a version exclusive of how Charcadet evolves. So you could just give it the held item that you use to evolve it, and then just be like 0, I think it was 166, and then 0167. And then just hop in, and you'll probably find somebody else trying to trade either a Charcadet with the held item you need on the other version, or they'll just already have the fully evolved version. So, great way to just trade stuff around. You know, obviously you're not going to be able to trade like a Scyther for a legendary. Nobody's going to trade you that, so don't even bother putting that link code in because you'll never find a trade. But for like things, if say for example, like my version has I think Goomy. And I want to say Bagons on the other version, so I'd probably trade like a Goomy for a Bagon.
I think Goomy might be a version exclusive.
No, I just cussed Lego.
Dino is one of the Scarlet version exclusives.
Is it as Tyranitar?
Larvitar is one of them. I haven't seen any Larvitars.
Okay, so yeah, like
Stunky's one of the exclusives.
Then yeah, like whatever those kind of equivalent from your version versus their version, probably can trade pretty easily between the two. I know anything, and if you've probably got Scarlet, it seems like a lot fewer people bought Scarlet. People prefer Violet.
Good.
So.
Because we got Scarlet. It gives us the advantage.
Yeah, we got that slight edge.
So.
Anyway, that's just trading stuff. And oh yeah, and that's the other thing, is like there's only one trade evolution, and that's Gengar. So you need a Haunter to trade for a Gengar. But there is an NPC in the game that will trade for one. So. Mm.
But all that to say that it'll be nice when we do finally get home integration, so we can kind of move these things a little bit easier. Just kind of dump something in a home box from your phone, and then just leave it alone for a day and come back.
I mean, I got so many Pokemon from Pokemon Go that I'm just really want to move into this game, but can't.
But I ended up, when I started the game, Dez was sitting watching me play, so she picked the player avatar, she picked the starter, she picked the nickname for the starter, and then she watched me play for a couple of days, but then once she lost interest, the starter went into the box and has not returned since. Okay. I've just been having a whole lot of fun with the other Pokemon that are available in the game, but all that to get back around to, Wes got stuck with a duck.
I got stuck with a duck. So, Quaquaball. I mean, it's got good stats. It's good. I mean, it's a starter. I mean...
Does
it pick up a second type?
Yeah, so you got your grass dark, you got your fire ghost, and you have your water fighting. And so they complete the triangle both ways.
Okay, nice.
So you got the water strong against the grass, but also weak to the grass, and then vice versa and everything like that. So it's complete... circle like they did in
I think the sixth gen was like that, right? Because you had like
I think it was X and Y
psychic
X and Y did that. It was fire psychic, water dark, and fighting grass.
Oh, so yeah, they're in that case are double weak both times around. Like one has the
it doesn't reverse
type advantage. This one's like it's a hedge.
Yeah, it doesn't reverse the secondary type.
I think I understand.
Okay. Yeah, and this thing's got good stats. I mean, he's got decent defense, decent HP. He has attack, high speed. I mean, it's a starter.
I think all of the starters in this game have like a base 130, which I think is slightly higher than some other starters.
Really?
Mm. That's like higher than Eevee stats.
Wait, 530?
Yeah, 530.
Okay.
I think starters are usually usually clocking at slightly above 500.
On the low end, I think some of the low ones, aren't they like 510? From really early generations, I think that they go somewhere between like 510. I think you're, But they're all usually at least over 500.
Because
then you're getting into semi territory, and you don't want to.
you don't want to be stuck
associated with those clowns.
So I mean, it just doesn't really learn anything great. For like a while, it just learns special attacks, and it's attack heavy.
Does it have a signature move?
Yeah, it's Aqua Step, which what's the actual.
Increases speed, like one so stage.
80 power, 100 accuracy, and then it increases speed.
Physical or special move?
It's a physical.
Okay, well, there's that.
So, I mean, it works for it, but it increases speed, but its speed's already like 107, so I mean, it's already fast as hell.
Hmm.
So it's like, I don't really need extra speed.
Yeah, what's the advantage of getting extra speed?
Can you baton pass?
I mean, the thing also, I got Wing Attack on it, Aqua Jet, Low Sweep, but only two fighting moves it learns is Low Sweep and Counter.
That's not great.
So
I mean, you'll get like Brick Break and stuff for it, I'm sure.
I haven't found any good fighting TM, so I'm like, I'm stuck with fucking Low Sweep. What am I doing with this thing?
A lot of them will unlock from the Team Star fights.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that fighting one yet.
Yeah, so. The more Team Star fights you do, like you'll get.
Better, I got two left. I got the Fairy one. I got the Fighting left, so I got to knock them out.
Probably do the Fighting one.
Yeah,
probably get some shit.
But I hate this stupid thing because.
You could bench it.
I don't know. I mean, I've been using it for a while, but it's like doing this stupid dance
the
entire
time. The design on it is a bit over the top. Honestly, the design on all three of these guys is a bit over the top.
I like the other two designs. I think they're really cool. This thing is just like he's constantly dancing. He's got this like big peacock tail thing popping up behind him. I'm just like, just stop. Just
it's just some of the designs in the past are so simple or so delightfully simple. Again, like a fucking Charizard or even the what does Bayleaf become? Meganium.
Meganium. Yeah.
They're all stupid. They're all adorably like they, you feel like you could easily make a plush of this. This thing has like disconnected feathers that circle around it.
A bit over designed. Yeah. And it's funny because like some of them like the starters feel a bit over designed, whereas some other ones feel a bit under designed. Like the ice dragon whose name is escaping me right now.
Baxcalibur.
Yeah. Feels a little bit under designed. Feels like they could have gone a little bit more. Like especially when compared
that's a good point.
Like a Jangmo O.
I mean, it kind of looks almost like they just changed the color and adds a detail to a Duraludon and Duraludon or whatever the fuck the thing's called. But I mean, you know, it's the same shape and everything. You're like, all right.
Then you know, there are, of course, always the complainers about like designs. Like, oh well, the Palafin is just a dolphin, and this is just like let's never forget.
We called it, by the way. They made a dolphin.
They did make a dolphin. Nailed it. There was a Pokemon in Gen 1 called Seal. Guess what it was? We were dealing with a Voltorb, and.
Like Beartick. Is there even a more low-effort name than Beartick? they're not above just giving you a really garbage name. But
I was having flashbacks to Sun and Moon when I got stuck with Popplio. I was like, God damn it! Like,
you can bench these things. There are so many fun...
I use the starters to the end.
There are so many fun Pokemon. Like, brand new entries are so many really good ones. Like,
there's no waters I'm interested in. The new waters are crap.
I've come around on
other Popplio. Than that dolphin. That dolphin's cool, but
no. Popplio is legit.
Popplio is like really, really good.
I agree, but I don't like the fucking design.
But man, that thing's rough.
You get this clown dog thing.
Like, it becomes a ballerina.
It lays the wood so hard, it's not to be trifled with.
Yeah, and the preform, the Quaxwell, it was like always in like that dancing pose. I don't know what it's called. I don't know dancing terminology.
So neither
do I. All right. And then, like, does this skip when it kicks and attacks? I'm like, I don't... Catch your animation off on this one.
You're demolishing Pokemon. The other Pokemon. The other trainer's crying, but you're just ashamed. You're just embarrassed. This is how it has to play
like some
out.
Homophobic dad at his son's dance recital. Like, he won.
That's absolutely what Wes is doing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God damn it. Come on, Quaxwell, let's go.
You're soft, son.
No, but I mean, it's learning... I'm just using Aqua Step. That's it. It's just the one move Pokemon. There's no reason to use any of the other crap. No reason to throw them out against anything. It's just... it's just bland to me.
I would say... Definitely just start messing around with all the other Pokemon within the game because, like, I
flip them out for the Arctic guy. I flip them around here and there.
And maybe that's what we do on the next show is we start going through, like, the individual entries and talking about these things because there are a ton of, like, really good, interesting Pokemon in this generation. It's really good, really good new additions.
Some of them are pretty, like that Tarantula guy or whatever.
I mean, it's like it's your first drop.
Oh, Spidops?
Yeah, Spidops or whatever. I was like, all right, yeah.
I had him on the team for a little while. I didn't really get to use him all that much because, again, experience share. Experience share is a thing, and it just divides up experience, so everyone levels up. So during, like, large segments of the game, this isn't, like, a problem specific to this game. Throughout big parts of the game, you can ride with one or two Pokemon who have the type advantage in the general area that you are in. The advantage of that is, of course, that when you just need to level things up, it's easy to keep things at parity with each other. It's easier to keep your team swapping in and out.
Yeah. One of the guys that's kind of always stuck around my team, and I don't even think it's got 500 stats, but it's Kilowattrel, the electric flying bird.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I named mine Zapdos Dose.
Very good.
So I figured, why not?
I named mine Zappy Burb.
Nice. But that's one that you could just go to the shoreline,
yeah.
Just toss that thing out, and it could be 10 levels under the stuff there, and it's going to keep just crushing and generating a lot of experience for your team.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really wanted to power level some stuff pretty quick, like just find the areas where you know, like I had a Lucario. I just went into the mountains, and just everything there is ice, and I'm doubly good against ice.
I haven't found Riolu yet.
Yeah, he's up
there. Ran into one.
Mm.
But I let him be.
I'll get him eventually.
Yeah, Lucario has just been a a nice addition to the team. It's probably the only non-Gen 9 that I've been using for actual combat and not just catching. I've been using a Gallade to catch stuff. But other than that, like, I mean, I've gone through, I've got Armor Rouge and Cerulege and...
Are you using them both?
Yeah, they're both... Well, I've benched them because I've got other shit going on, but one's level 36 and one's level 40.
Okay.
Of the two, they're both great, but I kind of am leaning towards Cerulege. I think that one's really cool.
Yeah, I really like Cerulege too. I'm using Armor Rouge just because I want a psychic on my team.
Yeah.
But I was using Cerulege for a little bit until I came over and got it from John. But yeah, I was really liking him. He was doing a great job.
And both, frankly, just got benched because I got my Gallade, which is a psychic. So why I don't want two psychics. And Cerulege is a fire ghost, which is straight up what the starter is.
Yeah.
So if I'm running that, I can't run them both.
But like what I said, like he was over the other day and we set up a union room and we were just doing a union room. It is probably the easiest it's been. Speaking of like... incremental improvements. Easy has been to just set up a connection.
Yeah.
So and then when you're in the same union room with like a local connection, super easy just to set up a trade or a battle and swap things around. I'm not 100% sure on how it works. Maybe you guys know. Like, are you like if Wes has a version of Violet and I have a version of Scarlet and I join a room, is he then essentially playing a version of Scarlet?
Yes.
Like, are you encountering things that are in Scarlet, like the version exclusive?
I know you can do raids together.
There are some shared. Yeah, in a local connection, there are like some shared raids that will pop up. But then there's also still raids that are populated that are like if Wes came into my version and he went up to a certain raid den, sometimes it'll say this is John's raid. Like you wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't messed around with
it. You can initiate it, but if you initiate it, I can join you.
Oh, raid. Interesting. Okay. That's how it works. Oh, that's right, because when you enter, like when you go to the Union Room menu, you can hit the button to join
the local raids.
Interesting.
Well, I know you can also... Apparently there's two different ways... Well, two different things you can do that cheese the game, but one of them is just that, like, if say, like, I'm at where I'm at and I've done the end game and I started collecting those shards that make the more advanced sandwiches, you can have someone who hasn't done a thing in the game go into their room and they'll share that same sandwich. And they'll get access to all of those same benefits early on. And then also, as I understand, something to do with how you connect to the internet and disconnect, that you can trigger it, get the sandwich, disconnect, time out. But then when you boot the game back up or when you get back to the main world, you still have the sandwich benefits, but having not lost any of the ingredients.
What shards are doing the improved sandwiches? Are those like the ones that you find lying around, like that have the different Pokemon types?
Yeah, I think that you get, well, you don't get access to the ones that do the shiny stuff until the post game.
Right.
And I haven't found a way to use those shards that you're getting, because I've got a handful of them too, to make sandwiches. They just don't seem like they're compatible ingredients. So I don't know. But hopefully, when I get into the very end game stuff like shiny hunting, it'll all make sense.
Cool. Wes, you got an inquisitive look on your face.
So I'm into that, I'm near the center area. I was just kind of exploring around. I kind of stumbled
towards
it. Yeah, the crater. There's a Garchomp flying.
Oh, good.
It's a ground type.
Yeah.
That thing doesn't fly.
I don't know.
Why is it flying?
It's a special one. Maybe it's holding an air balloon.
Yeah, it's just a regular old Garchomp, but it's flying.
Oh my god, you're right. It's not even like it's like stuck in like a walking animation.
Oh no, it was flying around.
It's, yeah. Well, I mean, it's got a tail, right? And it's got its arms spread out.
Sort of snakes.
It's horizontal. This thing is flying.
Amazing.
This is, I don't know what's fucking happening.
You're a bird and it's the one flying.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. That was a weird. Yeah, I'm guessing I can't go there until like story things because it's just something with fog down there.
There have been some really funny pop-ins though with different Pokemon just doing things. Like I know there was a really critical fight that I had as part of the story, and then just out of nowhere just some asshole and a Jigglypuff just walk in the middle of the fight like right through the middle of the fight.
It's happened to me a bunch of times where I like I initiate a battle with a wild Pokemon because I want to like catch it. And then while I'm doing that, I see something else like swim behind. Like, oh, I fucking need you too. Get in the ball this time. I need to go get that thing right now.
Yeah. Oh, it is nice that, yeah, the world is, that's kind of a new feature. The world's permanent around you, so you can, like, be in the fight and look around and see everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have a couple of, a nice little shortcut, like, pressing in the right analog stick will sort of, like, reorient your battle view if things go a little bit weird. And then also, like, in your map, like, clicking the left analog stick will reorient things to where north is up.
Yeah.
So, some quick ways just to... Because when you open the map, it's going to sort of orient the to the direction that you are facing rather than to north. And I always like having it, like, maps in a fixed position. It's just easier to tell where you are relative to everything else.
Two things. And kind of going back to when people complain about performance issues, just two things. One, for starters, turn off autosave. Like, I played for maybe a couple hours with autosave on. I noticeably different the second I turned that off.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to give that a shot.
The game runs a lot smoother if it's not constantly having to save every time you do a fucking thing. Because I don't know if you really ever pay attention to it. The autosave goes off, like, anytime you do anything.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do that because the game has crashed on me 3 times.
Oh, has it?
Mm-hmm.
That's rough.
I've never had a crash.
I haven't had a crash either.
Yeah, it has crashed on me 3 times.
Oh, that's not great.
So I don't really want to turn off my autosave because... I'll lose hours of gameplay.
No, just manually.
It's not Quaxley, it's called Crashly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This fucking duck is ruining me.
Yeah. Oh, that, and the other thing is, like, I know that you can zoom out. Zooming out doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, I guess it sort of gives you a better view of the environment, but if you just use the zoomed in mode, you see everything you want, and you have just as much mobility with the camera, and it seems to run a little better. It's not trying to, I don't know if it's not trying to render as much or what, but... I kind of just like doing the close-up view behind the character as opposed to, like, the super panoramic need-to-see-everything-around-me kind of mode.
I prefer the zoomed-out view. I haven't really noticed too much of a performance difference between zoomed in and zoomed out. That seems to be running okay for me.
Yeah. I go back and forth on it because the zoomed-out, I can see that the stuff coming. But I have to switch zoomed in when I'm like, what the fuck is that thing? Oh, it's a capsa kit. Got it. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's...
I've had to do that too. Like, I'm walking around a field. Like, what is? I have to, like, zoom back in. Oh, it's a Sinistee. There he is.
Oh yeah.
God, those Sinistees, they kept like hiding on me.
Yeah, small Pokemon are very, very small.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I do like that. There's a sense of scale still, like with the stuff that's just roaming around. It's not like everything's just a generic size.
No.
Not really too many gigantic Pokemon.
No, they're very small, especially like the new ones of this game. There's not really I think the biggest thing I was thinking is that Donzo thing, that big wish cash looking thing.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest one of the new ones I've seen. I haven't seen anything
big whale Pokemon.
And some of these start really fucking tiny.
Some appropriately named Smoliv.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm having a real good time with this game. Like, it's... I don't know what my hour count is because the Nintendo Switch hasn't updated yet, but we're turning like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Yeah, I've played at least 30 hours, I'm sure, at this point.
I am enjoying the game. I think I do prefer the more of a structured approach as like the older Pokemon games because I'm more for like runs and different teams. I like playing through the game multiple times. And with this one, it's just going to be more like... It's exploration based, and it's designed really wants you to catch them all and do that type of thing. Like, I don't know how Nuzlocke's are going to be with this. This is going to be interesting, figuring out the different zones.
I think they're
for
just
Nuzlocking.
Gonna, I think they're going to not be like, yeah. I don't know how you do a Nuzlocke with...
Well, I think like for that, because like if you're doing a hardcore Nuzlocke where you're playing with level caps, you're going to have to go through like the prescribed path, because there is a prescribed path in the game. Things don't scale.
And there's a prescribed path that even integrates the star camps and the Titans with it as well. Because the Titans do have a set level, because you're sitting here like, knock them all out. I'm like, one of those Titans are like in their 50s. So I don't know how you knocked it out so early. Because it's just...
I mean, I probably was in the third... Again, the level... It's only if you catch a Pokemon will it not obey you.
Right? Yeah.
Right? So I probably had just already caught some Pokemon that I was using. Like... I mean, my team was pretty good. Like, a lot of these guys I caught super early, so they were still listening to me. Like, I know for whatever reason, like, I couldn't get my Houndstone to listen to me that I caught, because it was, like, level 35 or something, and I hadn't done, like, any of the gyms except for maybe one or two. So I was, like, kind of confused as to why that wasn't working, and then I looked it up, and that's why. So, yeah, like, I don't know. Again, this grass starter has, like, an 80 damage guaranteed crit first hit. Like, I mean, this thing is a fucking truck. Like, it's good. Like, I mean, again, whatever it was, I don't even remember which order. I think I did the one that was in the northwest last of the five different things. But at any rate.
But yeah, if you're playing with level caps, you kind of have to go through a prescribed path. I'm wondering how, like, a Nuzlocke would work just in terms of encounters.
And, yeah. I think the Terra types, like, the final Terra battle you do, I don't think you can one-hit KO that. I think every single one I've done gets down to, like, 90% damage done, but there's still the Terra type active. So, like, that thing's going to hit you. Like, best of luck. Like, that's going to hit something on your team, and it's probably going to die. Unless it's, like, a, you know, fucking ghost and you're in normal.
I mean, this is a fun game. It's great. I mean, it's more Pokemon. I just think I prefer the more of a structured approach.
It does sort of, like, try to walk the tightrope between, like, this is, like, a sandbox, but then there's also a prescribed path. And I think, like, this sort of, like, sandbox approach does... It's just more harmonious with something where things would, like, scale with you. Now, there is a difficulty that to where, you know, then do wild Pokemon scale with you? Or is it just, like, your major battles that are scaling? So there are, like, some design issues to where why that's not 100% smooth either. But, like, it's sort of like a game that has a prescribed path that's sort of, like, wearing the mask of, of an open-world game. But to me, like, it's been, like, really rewarding just to, like, go out, like, okay, I'm going to pick a direction, and I'm going to mark a place on a map. This is where I'm going to try to get to, and then just get sidetracked three times going that way.
Yeah. I feel like that's what you used to say about, like, Skyrim. Skyrim was that way for you. It's like, you have something you want to do, but, God, you're going to get sidetracked.
Like, I got to complete this Thieves Guild quest, and, like, oh, fuck, there's some wheels to cheese. I don't know.
Just as glitchy, too. There's that.
Just as glitch. The weirdest glitch was the little old lady floating off into the sky. Like, that was the weirdest Skyrim glitch.
And, oh, I thought you were talking about Pokemon again.
No. I would like to see that. But a fucking flying Garchomp, that threw me for a loop.
I mean, it would be nice if they did give you more, like, character customization options. Because, you know,
I wanted to bring that up.
You get
four outfits. What the fuck is that? You're giving me, like, 20 different kinds of tight colors, but I get four outfits?
Yeah. How many fucking socks can I buy? Like, who gives a shit? I don't see them with shoes.
But then that's the thing. So, you know, you get two different genders to pick from, and you get four different skin tones for each. You get a couple of different hair colors and stuff. But, like, you're always going to be wearing your school uniform. You can get things like hats, shoes, socks, gloves. You can get some different gloves. You can change your phone case
and the hat and all that shit. But, like, when it's just, like, everybody else in the world looks so fucking cool. This is, like, the most stylish collection of characters in a Pokemon game by far.
Yeah. Like, all your different teachers have all these different looks to them. Yeah.
All the Team Star people have really cool designs. All of these just random people you encounter in the world have so much style, and their fashion is such a big deal. That it's so strange that you only get four outfits, but you get to customize, like, every other thing to death.
Yeah, you can customize your hair color, your hairstyle. Maybe there'll be a patch. Maybe if they do some DLC like they did for Sword Shield, like some expanded content, you get some expanded fashion.
I feel like that's too. Yeah, that's something that's got it. That will come along. I'm not really sure why, of all things. Was it just, I mean, it seems like they give so little regard to performance issues to begin with. It's like, was that the thing? Was that the straw that broke the camel's back? Where they're like, we can't do this.
This game only crashes 1% of the time, but if we put some new shorts in there, we're getting up to a 5% crash. We can't do it. I don't know. Like, and I'm sure, like, this game probably will get some.
Do you go shorts or pants, by the way?
Shorts.
Shorts? Yeah. Do you do, like, the North Face vest thing, or do you just do the normal outfit?
Oh, I don't know what North Face. I have a female avatar.
Like the McFly. You think you're going to drown McFly?
Oh, sweater vest. What did he wear in the Coast Guard?
You know, that thing. No, I go with the pants with the suspenders. It's pretty tight.
I'm rocking the winter suit, so it's like a jacket with a tie and pants.
Well, like, maybe. Yeah,
that's a good look.
Maybe because the game, like, the central premise is, like, you're a student at this school, so you're wearing your school uniform, but you're never spending any time with this. Like, have you guys gone back and done your classes at school?
I did a few classes to see what was going on, and then after, like, I was like, this is taking a minute. I looked it up, and I'm like, there's no fucking reason to do these classes unless this is like your first Pokemon game.
Right. Like so like after you like beaten half the gyms, you can take your midterms and your reward is basically like 30-35 medium candies. Like no, small candies. Small candies.
Well, each one has a different reward. So like one of them actually will give you the Galarian form of Meowth.
The individual teachers, you mean?
Yeah. But once you complete all the classes and stuff. And yeah, I did it a few times and I was like, whatever. I just started like, if they have exclamation points by the thing, I'll go to that room just to like interact with the people. But I have not been doing their classes now. Aside from like a couple of times I tried them out just to...
I finished my finals.
Yeah? Oh, you did? You did all?
Oh, yeah. Did all the finals. Yeah, I finished that up earlier today. And got like 30 medium candies out of it. Great. But I actually haven't not gone to any of the individual rooms to talk to the teachers at this point, so I'll have to revisit that and see what all they give me.
I don't think this is a spoiler to tell you this, guys, but to do the Elite Four, before you can even enter to do the Elite Four, you have to answer 10 questions. And they're not... It took me 3 tries. Okay. It took me 3 tries, and I had to look up the name of the who is in what gym.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. All right.
they want you to remember names?
And they're asking you these very, like, loaded questions. Like, I mean...
Why are they trying to trick you?
Right?
That's so weird, because there's a gym test where you just, like, have to play this game of Simon Says to match up emotions.
I just did that earlier today. That was the dumbest thing. Oh, my God.
But then, like, when you get to the Elite Four, they're like, is this not what you hadn't been wanting to, like, why are they trying to trick you at that point?
This is a kid's game.
Well, one of the questions was, what school do you attend? Which, if you get that question wrong, I'm sure the guy at the other end of the keyboard, like, is like, oh my god, this kid's a psychopath. Does he need help?
Do you know what school you attend?
I don't know.
It's a different name for each... I got this question wrong.
Scarlet, it'd be the Naranja.
I guess the wrong school. I don't even... This is like how stupid the fucking questions are.
It's the Spanish word for orange. Like we're playing Scarlet version.
I don't know. That's true.
You trust me.
Yeah, but like this is like, what is this, rated E? Like it's
how come supposed to be how come like there's no a orange game? Pokemon? How come we don't have a citrus Pokemon in this game?
There's one of those sushi things is orange.
But that's
sushi's not citrus.
Oh, you're talking about lure orange, not the color orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we got, like, bananas with Tropius.
Yeah.
And we got the Appletons.
I like the new Pokemon, that Capsaicin, whatever. The one that's the fire grass.
Oh, yeah, the hot pepper one.
I need to use that Scovalin.
Yeah, it's like our little boy Fuego del Queso.
Yeah. Perfect Pokemon.
Yeah.
But all of the pre-gym test things, like, okay, this is kind of a silly mini-game that you're throwing in here. Like, none of them have been like particularly offensive to me, but it's also like, well, can we just get down to brass tacks here?
One was like pushing this oblong ball into a net, and it reminded me, as I was doing it, I was like, this is kind of dumb, and then I was reminded of like how much I enjoyed it when I had to herd sheep in the grass gym. And I'm like, no, you love this in a different context, you will enjoy this.
I mean, herding Wooloo is just like a perfect minigame, though. That was the game. Like that and Blitzball, S tier minigames.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I don't know. These gym tests were so dumb. A huge waste of time.
Well, you know, playing video games and then talking about them on the internet. We don't value our time.
My time is worthless.
What's that Futurama joke? I got some dirt on some other orphans.
Later.
I don't have time for that. I'll come back for that later. Anything else we need to address before we close it out for this show?
How's about for the next one that we do, the next poker show we do?
Is another poker show.
Yeah, it'll be the first show in December. It'll be Pokemon again.
Yeah, we'll be starting over for another poker show.
I was going to say we each should take like maybe 4 new Pokemon and profile them.
Yeah.
Talk about them. Use them a little bit in the game. Maybe start kind of messing around with them. Just, I don't know if to pick them at random or just pick some ones we like, whatever.
I was like, well, we'll go through our teams and see.
Yeah, we'll pick 4 before we leave off air and then we'll...
Cool. Yeah. Break them down. I like that. So yeah, next up is going to be more Pokemon. That's the next show. We'll talk about some individual ones that we're using. And then we'll get back to the regular rotation. We'll do like a mini show where we'll probably talk more about Pokemon. And
I will be talking about Grand Theft Auto 3.
Oh, amazing. Looking forward to it.
And Diablo Resurrected, of course.
I did pick up, I haven't started yet, and I probably won't until I'm okay walking away with Pokemon for a little bit. I did, because it was on sale for Black Friday for $30. I grabbed that Persona game.
Oh, nice. Persona 5?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Royal Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that for the Switch.
Good. That's a pretty good price for that.
I mean, I wanted to try one of those, but I was like, $30? Fuck it. I'm going to do this.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal for a visual novel. You're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Wait,
you liked the game? What's your problem?
I didn't finish it. Not because it was a visual novel, but I did do a lot of fast-forwarding because there was a ton of dialogue in that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, thumbs up. Persona 5 is a good game. It'll do a retro show. Get back into the retro show. That'll be good.
Again, reminder, like fucking no music to talk about.
Oh, but so many movies.
It's going to be so nice. So many movies.
And even some video games, fellas. Smash Bros. Melee, Pikmin, end of list.
Oh, we can talk about the
Final Fantasy X.
I guess we can get ahead of this because we can talk about the Pokemon Christmas rap. I don't know if you guys listen to that song.
I did not listen to that song.
It's a banger. It is a great tune. Yeah, in 2001, Pokemon released a Christmas album.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like it's right up there with Bob Dylan's Christmas album because, you know, he's Jewish. So it's like, okay. But it's wild that they did this. I mean, if we can get the song in time, you really got to, like, just start and end every episode we do for the next, I don't know, couple of years.
Okay.
Just a couple of years.
Which is a Pokemon Christmas song.
Isn't that great?
I'm 100% down.
Nice.
I'm on board. But yeah, and then that'll be that. That's it. That's the end.
So long.
See ya.